Welcome Stephen as he comes to share in our first session tonight. Make him feel right at home. He's an Australian and they lost the league, so we need to make it really, really good for him. Hey Stephen, thanks for being here, mate.
Thank you. Awesome, mate. Thanks, Paul. You can be seated. How about I just start by honouring your senior pastors, Paul and Marie. The work here at Life Church in Auckland is amazing. In New Zealand is amazing. And now around the world is amazing. Over the past 30 years, Pastor Paul and Marie have been incredibly great friends to Donna and I. They've sought us out, they've encouraged us, and they've loved us. But perhaps the biggest gift that they've given us is their support for my senior pastor, Pastor Brian and Bobby. They've supported them in the good times and in the not so good times. But they've always been constant, a constant source of life and encouragement to them. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful. So why don't we just thank Pastor Paul and Marie. So just to introduce me a little, I have a number of businesses. Paul just asked me, what do I do? I have an accounting firm which I started over 20 years ago. And from that accounting firm led to a bunch of different opportunities which I took. One of them is a national daily freight delivery service servicing regional Australia. We have hundreds of trucks moving every night with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people getting the freight from the city to the country. I've got an IT support business which services about 50 clients, about 4,000 desks in Australia. And I've got a small legal firm and a small financial services business. On top of that, I chair an insurance business with over 2,500 churches, and I'm on the board of a college university in Sydney, and on my own board, own church board, Hillsong Church. 10 years ago, I completed a doctor, so I tell Donna a lot that I'm her doctor. So life's full for us. We've got three children who are in university or just completed university. And we're committed to a life, a full life at church, both midweek, where I lead about 15 business connect groups, not me personally, but oversee all that, and on Sunday, where we come to worship, we come to thank the Lord for all of his goodness, and then on Sunday night, where we get to support revival, because revival's happening in our churches, and it's pretty exciting. Let me just start by praying. Can we pray?
Yeah.
My Father in heaven, who loves me, who loves us, bring your heaven here tonight, just like it is where you are. Give us the strength we need, the courage, perseverance, resilience, love, compassion, and grace. And forgive us because we are utterly human. Lead us away from the things that take us away from the life you have for us, the great distractions, and protect us from that sloth who is out to destroy our reputations and our ability to serve. Your kingdom is amazing. Your way is perfect and your name is holy. You are forever. Amen. Brilliant. So I want to share with you tonight about courage. Courage, when you need it and where to find it. So the irony's not lost on me. I'm here when the All Blacks are in charge. The Wallabies have not only left the paddock, but they're out bouncing off into the hills and into the scrub. So many have tried to define courage. Some say courage is the absence of fear. But what actually is it? Nelson Mandela suggested that courage is when we triumph over fear. A psychologist, Susan David, says that courage is fear walking. In the Bible, in Joshua 1, 6 to 9, the Bible talks about courage. The Lord is talking directly to Joshua. And I'm just going to read these few verses. You would have heard them many times before. Be strong and courageous, for you're the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either from the left or to the right. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. At the time that God spoke this to Joshua, Joshua was 80 years old. Moses had just died and he became the leader. God is speaking to Joshua, tasking him to take up the promise that God's given to him. What he did not know about he didn't know much about defeating kings in the promised land. And we read later on there was over 31 kings he needed to defeat. What he did know is there were giants in the land. 40 years ago, when he was 40, he was the spy that spied out that land. Decades on, all he knew was fear and trouble in the wilderness. God commands Joshua to be courageous. When we're in a tunnel of fear and trouble, we can't see where the end is. So I come from the wilderness. I grew up in a seaside outback town called Ceduna. It's located 1,500 kilometres from Perth and 1,500 kilometres from Sydney. It's in the middle of Australia on the southern coast. It's the last stop on Highway 1 before you cross the Nullarbor. The Nullarbor is a plain that has no trees, approaching the size of New Zealand. My hometown included the Aboriginal homelands of Caniba, Yalata and Oak Hill. The population of Ceduna was less than 1,000, and that included the surrounding areas. To reach the nearest town that had a population greater than Ceduna, you had to drive for 5 hours on open highway. Our church in Ceduna was small. It was a small Methodist stone building with wooden pews that sat 50 people. We'd only see that many, though, when there was a funeral. Donna and I have been part of the Hillsong journey, Donna since the beginning. We've sown into kingdom builders, your Gideons, I guess, your financial leaders here, all that time. Our goal each year was to give more than the last year. Whilst there's a competitive tension between building business and the businesses that we had and the significant commitment that we had to church and building church alongside Brian and Bobby, I've always found that my commitment to church had only enhanced, even increased the opportunities in business. But trouble comes. As Christians, we're not immune to storms. The wilderness times can be long, hopefully not 40 years long. and the dark times can descend upon us. In 2009, or the year 2009, started like most other years. It started with me setting goals on my holiday. I set them every year. In this particular year, I handed in my doctoral thesis. After years of toil, sacrifice, and family time gone, I was happy to get that thing done. But by April of 2009, my supervisor handed it back to me and said it needed a complete rewrite. The next month in May, the GFC started to hit, and I lost 5 major clients. If that wasn't enough, an elder in my church, a previous elder, came and told me exactly why I'd lost them. In June of that year, a ministry that I was involved with hit the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald for all the wrong reasons. In July, my children were involved in a car accident and the car was written off. In August, I removed a dead tree that my neighbour had been complaining about. It was a 30-metre high gum tree and it was dead and a limb was hanging over the driveway. For my benefit, the council thought that they should send me a letter fining me $110,000. In September, the tax office decided to audit the ministries that I was involved with. And in October, the tax office thought they needed to audit my practice. In November, I paid the legal fees for the Sydney Morning Herald story, which I couldn't afford. In December, actually it was New Year's Eve, one of my best mates called me and told me that I needed to resign from a board because I'd managed, my role on that board was no longer tenable. If I did resign, my reputation would have been in tatters. In January, my business partner advised that he was leaving the practice after 10 years. You know, after all this stuff, if I was him, I'd be running too. In February, the Chartered Accountants, the professional body of which I'm a fellow, thought it was a good time to do a professional standards audit on my firm. In March, Donna got incredibly ill. We nearly lost her. Anyhow, that's why Donna's a much better communicator than me. She can control herself. I felt that we were in a storm, that wave after wave after wave was coming at us. It was at that time that I fell into a deep depression. I was in a tunnel and no end in sight. Have you been in that place? Maybe there's some here that are in that now. Your storm might be a business in disarray. Maybe you're financially overcommitted. It may be a dislocated family, family members hurting one another or just hurt. It may be addiction to substances, to gossip, gambling, or sex. Whatever it is, it can be overwhelming. And you're in a tunnel and you can't see the light. Sometimes we don't know we're in a tunnel. So let me give you a few symptoms. Negativity. When negativity becomes your companion. Negativity is a cancerous state, isn't it? It's often brought on about the people we surround ourselves with. They can infect us and affect us. Maybe it's a jaded heart. Sometimes circumstances get you down and you can't believe that and you believe that nothing can save you, none of God's blessing will ever reach you. Carrying a wounded spirit is another symptom. Letting a comment about you get into your spirit, such as you're unprofessional, you're unqualified, or you're out of your depth, which, as I mentioned before, is the word said to me. Or maybe it's just letting sin defeat you. See, we all know that we sin, and we've all sinned. But sometimes sin has an uncanny way or an uncanny hold over you. We need to wise up to these strongholds. The Message Bible puts it beautifully when it says in Romans 6, verse 14, sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under any old tyranny anymore. You're living in the freedom of God. Another symptom's envy, when we're jealous rather than have a generous eye, when comparison blinds us to God's goodness and promise. If you recognize any of these symptoms in the person that you're sitting next to, just turn to them. So when courage has deserted you, where do we find it? I think we can find courage in love. Romans 8:38 in the New Living Translation says, "And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither fears of today nor worries about tomorrow, not even powers of hell can separate us from God's love." Accepting God's love does not mean denying or not owning your own emotions and feelings. My troubles led to a state of depression. I sought professional help. One of the things I had to learn was to accept love. As a business owner, caught up in the cut and thrust of deals, as a provider for my family, accepting love wasn't that easy. Maybe it was going to boarding school when I was 15. But you know, I've come to understand that there's an expiry limit on attributing blame to my parents. Sometimes you've just got to be honest with yourself. Dr. David, a psychologist and author, has an excellent TED talk where she states, "Discomfort is the price of admission into a meaningful life." Research now shows the radical acceptance of our emotions, even the messy and difficult ones, are the cornerstone to resilience, thriving, and true authentic happiness. If we own our emotions, remembering that emotions are simply a data source, if we own our emotions, we can then line them up with our values. And we can be our better selves. I learned that what it was like to be loved, to be accepted, to allow people to love me, to let my wife hold me. See, God loves me, not for what I do, not what I contribute. He just loves me. I worked out, I'm his favourite. And I learned that we can love in business. When one of my staff, a young mum whose husband had become ill with progressive cancer, we could show love. We could set her up at home. We could give her the time to do the work from home and give her the time and opportunity to take her husband to tests and to treatment. Two, we can find courage in being thankful. When I started my accounting firm, I invited my good friend Nabi Sali to come over and pray with me. Now, Nabi said a lot of things to me that day, most of which I don't remember. But one thing he said was this. He said, "Stephen," and he looks you in the eye. He's got these deep eyes that are piercing but gentle. He said, "You only have one provider. It's not your clients. It's not your business partner. It's not your staff. It's not the bank. You only have one provider." Our provider in heaven is our only source. How liberating is it when you're in business and you know you only have one source? Psalm 100, verse 4 in the Message says, "Enter with the password, thank you." David's showing us right here in the Psalms that we enter God's presence simply by saying thank you. Life without gratefulness is tiresome and unattractive. We present our problem first. We speak from our need first. What we want from a transaction. What we expect from the other person. How we've been treated poorly. When we're ungrateful, we're blinded to God's provision all around us. The cup's always half empty. When we're not grateful, we see problems people bring before we see the people's gift. As our staff and team bring problems and concerns to us, we start seeing them as the problem. But wait, when we present ourselves to others, our clients, don't we want them to see our gift? Greet others, people's blessings, as though they're yours. Be happy when they succeed. In my freight business, we have a board meeting every month. We sit down with a bunch of burly freight guys and we pray. Now, I started praying and just thanking God for the month past. They were a little shocked. It took them a little time to figure it out. But when you're the chairman, what can they do? The US President Abraham Lincoln set an enduring American tradition of Thanksgiving Day, or Thanksgiving Day. The last Thursday of November, he proclaimed it in 1863. In the middle of the Civil War. The first National Thanksgiving was celebrated a fortnight after President Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. President Lincoln had just suffered the largest loss of life in the Civil War at Gettysburg. His presidency was on a knife edge, and the State of the Union was not certain. He was in a tunnel. And there was no light. He courageously proclaimed a National Thanksgiving Day in a speech, and he said, and I'll quote, "A year filled with blessings of fruitful fields and heartful skies. They are gracious gifts from the Most High God." Isn't that awesome? We can always look to the skies and thank God for the heartful skies. What a great thought. I think being thankful is a cornerstone for courage. We can find courage in sowing. My investment in the IT business was on the back of failure. The company had failed spectacularly, owing creditors millions. The owner was broken. He asked me if I would help him rebuild it. So I committed to walking alongside him on the condition that he allowed me to handle all the financial affairs. The first thing I did was to provide for giving in the company budget. He was confused but too broken to argue. See, giving's important for businesses too. It's sowing. Sowing by putting something you have and placing it into good soil always has a return. In the middle of our storm in 2009-10, Donna and I knew we had to keep our heart and our hands open. Hardship can cause you to shut down. So we decided to give more, sow good seed, and sow our way out. I remembered I've only got one source. I learnt to practice generosity in a way that stretches me. So some of you might not be convinced about that. So let me show you something we can all sow: encouragement. Encouragement's where we put courage into those around us. When you need courage, determine in your heart to sow encouragement. Words that have cost us a lot, like some of the words I've shared tonight, will set others up for a wonderful harvest. We all have daily divine appointments, starting with our partner, but extending to our children, our staff, and to those that we work with. This is where we can start sowing encouragement every day. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage one another daily, as long as it is today." So I just want to close it out a little now. Ecclesiastes 11:4 to 6 is a beautiful verse that I've taken into my heart during this time. I just want to read it to you. "When the clouds are full of water, it rains. And when the wind blows down a tree, it lies where it falls. Don't sit there watching the wind. Do your work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. Just as you never understand the mystery of life forming in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery at work in all God does. Go to work in the morning and stick at it till evening without watching the clock. You never know from moment to moment how your work will turn out in the end." So I did that. I kept turning up, going to the office early, leaving late, doing my work. And you know, every situation I talked about was resolved. Donna was healed. The kids were unhurt. Bills got paid. Clients came. The tax audits were clear. Not one extra dollar paid. Council dropped their fine. I was awarded a doctorate. Business grew more profitable every year since. Times like these, I need to know my clients are not my source. I only have one source. I was saved in that little town of Ceduna. I can remember hearing the stories of Billy Graham crusades that swept across our cities a decade earlier, seeing people saved by the thousands. In Ceduna, we prayed for revival. We prayed for a time when our churches would be full and overflowing. Crowds like the Billy Graham crusade would be every Sunday. That the church would fill sporting arenas. We prayed that our church would have a voice for good in our country, not dismissed and unengaged like it was at the time. Isn't God good? You and I get to go to church each week and experience revival that we prayed for, with thousands worshipping it with us on Sundays. 2 weeks ago, my wife, Donna, was in our Prime Minister's office, who's now one of us, a Spirit-filled believer. Our challenge now is to see thousands turn into tens of thousands. Our tens of thousands turn into hundreds of thousands. God's hands on life, church, I believe it. On Pastors Paul and Marie. On you, the vision carriers. See, I've worked it out why Pastor Brian loves talking to our kingdom builders, your Gideons and your financial leaders. You see, we get it. We know what it takes to build vision, to fund vision, and to execute vision. You're fortunate to have visionary leaders. Pray for them, love them, support them, carry the vision with them, and don't take great leadership for granted. So, life, business, as it says, be strong and courageous. But be strong and very courageous. Thanks.
Wasn't that cool? You know, while you were speaking, I just thought we'd do something impromptu because that's what I do. Is that all right?
Well, I was just hoping for 30 minutes to get down and get off.
No, but when you were talking, and so insightful, but I think the reality for all of us that have big worlds, you know, how many would agree to run all those businesses? That's not just something that falls off the back of a truck every week. It's kind of... It has to happen. And this, you know, when I write notes, I'm listening to what you're saying and then I'm writing what I'm thinking. And you, and the things you said, and I want you to pick what you think is the strongest. For us to develop the courage, which we all need, we've got to own our emotions. We've got to locate next to people that really bring love, which, again, is a challenge because all of us need both emotional and spiritual lifters in our world, particularly if you're running something. You got to focus on your true provider for you and for me. That's the fact that God is God. Find time to be thankful and then this investing beyond yourself. Which one of those do you think is your toughest?
My toughest? I was hoping for my best.
Well, you can give us that as well if you want to.
Okay, being best,
yeah,
is being thankful.
Yeah.
You know, I love coming to church every Sunday morning. Sunday mornings when I come to church and I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
And that's got to be what I do every time. I think the toughest is still just being loved. As a business person... Yeah. And I'm not sure if you find this, and as a provider, and, you know, maybe I'm just a throwback to older days, but I still think that provision hangs heavy on business leaders in their homes and in their communities. And I think that it's really difficult for them to let the guard down and just be loved.
Yeah. Mm. I like that. Because it's tough when you're at the front end and generating all the time.
Well, you know that. And that's why I started where I started. Because I know the price Brian and Bobby, Pastor Brian and Bobby have paid.
Yeah.
And I know the support you've given them, the love every time. So I think when we come to church and we surround ourselves with great people, then we get that love.
Yeah. And that brings courage.
Absolutely. You can get out and kick a few more goals. See, I'm an AFL guy. When you come from the south...
You used to be a Wallaby guy.
I hadn't seen a game of rugby until I was 15 years old. I know that might be hard to believe.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, it's cool. I reckon that's fantastic because sometimes you hear about everything that everybody's doing, but how many know we all have those tunnel times... and we need each other. And I think that is right on the money, if we can put it on a business night, that we got to live with people in our world that we can really be honest and transparent with. Let them love us. And I would challenge everybody here, whether you're in the church or outside the church, who is building your emotional and spiritual world? Come on, we can thank Steve one more time. That was so fantastic.